Imagine a world where nobody cried, nobody got hurt, and nobody got upset. Imagine a world where people have food to eat, fresh water to drink, and a place that was safe to live in. Imagine a world where people cared for each other, helped each other, and tried to encourage each other. Imagine a world where you had everything you needed, no one went without, and nobody argued anymore. Imagine a world where people who were sick got better, and the problems we faced were not really problems at all. Imagine a world where people stopped pumping poison into our skies and oceans, and the air was fresh and pure. Imagine a world where God and you work as partners. Tell us now what world that world would look like. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you all enjoyed your extra hour in bed this morning. I certainly did, although I'm not quite sure it quite woken me up yet. We have had a really, really busy weekend with one thing or another. We're going to hear a little bit about some of the things that have been going on this weekend during their service. I want to just highlight one or two of our intimations and then talk about one or two of the things that have been going on. The board in session on Wednesday night, I asked them about the possibility of the church sponsoring a Christmas light as part of the Community Council's lighting up of North Deeside Road. And the suggestion we have is that, yes, we'd like to do that, but we would like your help in sponsoring that light. So at both doors, there are some gift aid envelopes, and we're asking you to consider making a donation towards the cost of sponsoring a light over the next 3 years. It's £600 to sponsor a light for 3 years, and we're very hopeful that one of the lights just outside the church will be the one that gets our name put on it. And so we'd like you to consider either this today if you've got some money with you, or next week if you've not, taking one of these envelopes and popping a wee bit of something in it towards the cost of that. And that way there'll be a sense that we've all kind of put something into this, and it's really us that have actually sponsored the light. So if you could give some consideration to that, as I say, there are gift aid envelopes at both all the doors that you could pick up, take away, or if you've got some pennies with you today, stick some in, seal it up, and fill in the details so we could claim the gift aid on it as well, and that'll all help towards the cost. Now, this weekend's been busy, but next weekend is also quite busy. We have the service on Sunday led by the Guild, and they have the General Secretary of the Guild, Mr. Ian White, coming to talk to you all about the work of the Guild. And then in the afternoon, Abby has organised a music recital with students, music students from the university and some from Cults Academy. And we have some posters here. I have them through in the vestry. If anybody knows of anywhere where we could put one of these posters to highlight the recital, please come to the vestry afterwards and help yourself. They're just sitting on the table there. But it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the donations for the recital are going to a charity called Feeling Strong. It's a mentoring stroke advocacy charity for young people with mental health problems. And it's a charity that Abby has been involved in doing some voluntary work with down in Dundee. And they have the project worker from the charity coming to the recital to say a little bit more about what the project actually does. So that's next Sunday afternoon. As I said, this is a busy weekend, and you can see some of the evidence of the busyness down here in the corner here of the chancel, all our shoe boxes that have been packed and ready to go off to Blythewood Care. And Carol is going to come and just say a wee word about them.
Right, I just want to thank everyone for the shoeboxes again this year, for the Guild, for the sorting, for all the donations. I think we might beat our 129 box total from last year. We will wait and see. So well done, everyone. They'll be going to various different countries in Eastern Europe, and hopefully it'll make somebody's Christmas a lot better, and we can share our joy that we have here. I also, while I'm up here, want to thank everyone involved in yesterday's Halloween event that we had. The outreach group, if we didn't have them to do the food, and all the ladies that participated in that, we wouldn't manage to do it. Anybody that came along and helped, Paul for his magic show, I don't know if he's around here. Oh, he is at the back. Thank you very much again. And anybody at all that donated anything, thank you so much. I think it went really well. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves, and hopefully we can have a run of something similar, maybe not the same, but you never know. Also, yesterday, somebody left a bag with a purse and wellies and some clothes. Elle Smith. Oh, there we go. We've got an owner.
We
did have a wee look to see if there was a driving license, but honestly, we didn't take anything out of it. So it's in the office in the church. We locked it in the office at the church so that it is quite safe, because we didn't know who it belonged to. So I'm glad we found an owner. But thank you very much again for everyone to contribute yesterday. We wouldn't manage without any of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. And I think we need to say a big thank you to Carol, because it's been a really busy time for you with organising the it really was a case of feeding the 5,000 yesterday at the party, wasn't it? We had no idea how many people were going to come. We had all these sausages, and poor Evelyn had been peeling tatties all week, but we didn't know. But anyway, it went really, really well, and it really was. The centre was packed. Lots of families from the community came and joined in the fun, and lots of you came as well. So it was really, really good. And I didn't wear my Good Witch costume this morning, but I have kept my tights. So in case you're wondering why I'm wearing rather loud stripy tights today, that was part of my costume from yesterday. We are here this morning to worship God. Come all who are weary of power struggles, differences and poverty. See, I am making all things new. Come all who are burdened with excess or scarcity, depression or anxiety. See, I am making all things new. Come all who hope for peace, justice, forgiveness, or inclusion. See, I am making all things new. Stand to sing our hymn 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Come, let us join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we pause and reflect on where we stand right now in this place of encounter. We let our senses wander, our souls rise, our faith stretch, and our hearts beat to the greater rhythm of your creativity and ongoing imagination. May your creative dream, God, call us not to remain here unmoved, but promise something yet to be. May we journey with you today. May we move forward towards that which is yet unimagined. May we shape our present with what you envision in us for tomorrow. May this place of encounter be alive with our hopes, run through with our longing, held by your love, and made possible by your greater dream for creation. Loving God, in all we believe is certain, may we find a new wonder. In all we have limited, may we find a new freedom. In all we have caught, may we find a new autonomy. In all we have shaped, may we find a reshaping of it all, and trust that nothing stays still and everything flows towards that which is yet to be, reimagined in your love, your promise and hope for all creation, ever moving, evolving, renewing us and this community, our world and each relationship we have. Loving God, we pause and reflect and wonder, where might this moment lead? And hear us now as we bring our hearts and words together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It has indeed
been a really busy time in our church over the last week or two. We had such an amount of activity yesterday. We had the Christmas card sale yesterday morning as well, and that was the outreach group. They had a long day yesterday with turning up to do the teas and coffees and refreshments for that all the way through into the evening. Now, at the Christmas card sale, some of you may have seen Sheila sitting at a table all on her own with a wee advert for our own church Christmas card. And this is where some of the youngsters have been busy too. Some of you have been busy, haven't you? And we had a little competition where we invited the youngsters to design a Christmas card for us. And they did such a really good job with three beautiful entries. And we decided that we couldn't pick just one to print into a Christmas card, that we're going to have them all printed into Christmas cards. So if you've not bought all your Christmas cards, hold fire, because hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have some cards for you to buy. And what I've got on my iPad, because I left the original pieces of art along at the Kirk Centre and forgot to pick them up yesterday when I was there. But on here, I have some pictures of the cards that we're going to have made up, if I can just quickly find them on here. Right, so we decided we would get them all made up into cards, but one of them would be used for a special card that will go as an invitation to members of our community who maybe don't normally come to church to say, we'd really love to see you over Christmas and here are all our special services that we've got. And that was Annie's card, wasn't it? That's the one we checked. And it's here. It's a beautiful stable scene, lovely and colourful. There we go. But we also had one from Isla, which is really cheery and friendly, so I'll give us a clap as well. And then we also had Felicity's one. Isn't that lovely? So really, really beautiful cards. So what we're going to do, girls, is when we get them printed, you will get some packs as your prizes for having designed these lovely cards, okay? And we can have cards made up of just one design or mixed packs of all the designs, but there'll be cards for sale hopefully in the next week or two, and we'll be able to have in the back of them who designed them. So everybody will know that it's your work, which is just absolutely fantastic. Now, yesterday's Halloween party, we had some fantastic pumpkins and one solitary little neat lantern. And can I just say, it was rather small, because they don't sell big neeps in Tesco's. And poor Neil, I sent him out to the shed, to his garage, to get his drill to drill out the centre for me, so I didn't have to do it all by hand. But with some lovely neat lanterns, and everybody that entered a neat lantern got a wee prize yesterday. We had a prize for the best adult, we had a prize for the best boy, and then we had a prize for the best girl. But the best girl had gone home before we were able to tell her that she'd won the best girl competition. So we need to let Maya know that you won the best girl competition. Because she came dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. But not only was she Little Red Riding Hood, she'd brought grandmother stroke wolf with her and also the huntsman. So I have got something, I've left it at home, but I'll make sure Granny gets it and she'll be able to pass it on to you. Okay, but well done for that. So a weekend of prizes. One of the things, going back to the cards, so that I really liked about these were how bright and cheery they were. And when you look at Annie's card, we've got this shining star at the top, and hopefully that's going to come across really, really well. This card was almost 3D in its effect, so hopefully the photograph will transpose really, really well. And it got me thinking about light. And the lanterns yesterday had me thinking about light. And we have lots of different lights in our daily living, don't we? What can you think of some of the lights that we might have in our daily living? What kind of lights do we have? Do any of you have a table lamp beside your bed? You got a table lamp beside your bed? Well, I brought a table lamp with me. This is my table lamp. And it's just a simple little lamp, but it's really quite special because watch what it does. Oh, if I put it down there, if I plug it in. Right, so it's not really shining very brightly at the moment, is it? If I do that, and then if I do that, it gets brighter, doesn't it? And even brighter. So that's one kind of light, and I've brought some other kinds of lights with me. So if you were going out at night and it was dark, what might you take with you? A torch. Well, I've got a couple of torches here. So I've got one little one here, but it's actually for a little torch. Got quite a bright light. There we go. So that's a torch. And I've got this other torch here. Can I get a volunteer? Do anybody like to try on my other torch? They're not very, Carol, you can try it on. So it stretches over your, I'm making a mess of your hair.
Oh no,
it's
a bit interesting.
Right. Now I'll let you put it on. Right, it's a head torch. And so this is quite a good one for when you're out walking, because if you're going out late at night and you've got a dog or two dogs, and you're trying to struggle it out. Wait. Look, if I do that. Oh. Turn around now and let them see. It flashes. So that's a really handy one that, you know, if you're out walking your dogs and you're trying to get two hands needed for the dogs, you don't know where to put a torch, have you? So you've got that there. Then, what about this? For a wee light. Inside here, I have a candle. That's another kind of light, isn't it? And if I am really clever and careful, and see if I can light my candle. And then that goes inside there, and it illuminates my little lantern, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. And I've got one. Oh no, I've got two more things. Like, thinking about the Halloween party yesterday, there were lots of these on the go, weren't there? Lots of glow sticks. So if I snap this now and see what happens to this, we've now got a nice glowing wing glow stick. And if I fold it in there, there we go. So we've got a nice glowing back bracelet. And I'm going to give that to Maya. There you go. You can have that. There you go. That's all right. You're very welcome. And I have one final light with me. How many of you got one of these in your pocket? And if you're very clever with your phone, I've got a torch on here. Which is really handy if you arrive at the back door and you've not, the light hasn't come on and you're trying to find the keyholes and it just suddenly grabs your phone and you can think. So lots of different lights. We quite often refer to Jesus as the light, a light of the world. And we talk a lot about how the light, the darkness, has never been able to overcome the light. And all the things that are going on in our world, which we're going to think of later on in the service, where it might seem a really dark place, we can be reminded that over all of this, we have Jesus and the light that Jesus is, and he's never been put out. Oh, hello, Bentley. You got your car. A wee racing car. Wow. So we're going to sing a little song just now called Jesus is the Light of the World. And it's a wee reminder to us that despite everything that might be going on in the world at the moment, the things that worry us, that we can remember that Jesus is our light and that we are loved by God through Jesus. And we'll let Bentley see how far he gets on with his car.
The reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 14. You find on page 328 of the Pew Bible. The new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready, like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with mankind. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. the old things have disappeared. Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new." He also said to me, "Write this, because these words are true and can be trusted." And he said, "It is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it. Whoever wins the victory will receive this from me. I will be his God, and he will be my son." But cowards, traitors, perverts, murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic, those who worship idols, and all liars, the place for them is the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." The Spirit took control of me, and the angel carried me to the top of a very high mountain. He showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God and shining with the glory of God. The city shone like a precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels in charge of the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. There were three gates on each side, three on the east, three on the south, three on the north, and three on the west. The city's wall was built on 12 foundation stones, on which were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Peter, for that reading. The choir are going to come now and help us learn a new hymn. It's hymn 749, "Soon and Very Soon." And what I'm going to suggest is the choir could come out the front, and if you could lead us in the first verse, and then we'll go back to the beginning and sing the whole thing all together.
Thank you. I am fine, Ada. Top of the world.
Are you sure, Andy? I could have sworn you had a tear in your eye.
What? No. No mean, Ada. I don't do tears.
Well, if you're sure...
Ada, what would you think about a fresh start?
Are you thinking of leaving me, Andy?
No, Ada. You're the love of my life. That's not what I meant at all.
Then what kind of fresh start are you thinking about then today?
Well, the writer of John talks about God giving us a fresh start and making all things new.
Well, I wouldn't say no to a younger, slightly more macho version of you, Andy.
Well, wait a minute, Ada. I am still a pure Adonis, so I am.
Well, just you keep thinking that.
Now, Ada, I'm being serious here.
Okay, sorry, Andy. What were you saying about a fresh start?
Well, John in the book of Revelation paints a very colourful and very horrific picture of the end of time. A time of death and destruction for all of those who have gone against his will. And he says that such folk will get dumped in the lake, burning with sulphur and fire.
Sounds pretty horrible, Andy. What happens to all the good folk?
Well, he seems to wipe away their tears, puts an end to grief and suffering, and gets rid of all the old things that hold us back.
But what stops us from doing good things now? What stops us from making a fresh start now? Is that not what Jesus encouraged his followers to do?
Well, probably nothing to stop us doing it now, Ada, I guess. It's just the fact that we always expect God to fix things and to sort out our mess at the end. I think we become somewhat complacent about following Jesus and just expect that God will make it all right in the end.
Yet, it seems if you get it right, that no matter how bad things are, God is going to allow us a chance to begin all over again. It just seems, well, amazing.
Oh, don't forget all those who get dumped in the fire or killed by a plague. It certainly seems that some justice gets dispensed at the end before we start all over again.
Andy, remember how Adam and Eve made a mess and God gave us a fresh start. Remember the story of Noah and how God gave us a fresh start. Remember the story of Moses in Egypt and how God gave the people a fresh start. Remember Jeremiah telling the people of Babylon there would be a fresh start. Remember Jesus saying he would give us a fresh start. How many chances do we get with God?
Endless chances, Ada, because he wants the best for us, the very best. He wants our life to be of worth and value. He wants us to live in peace and harmony with each other. And he wants to be among us as we build a world like that. Don't forget, Ada, that God came to us, not the other way around.
So, here in the book of Revelations, John outlines a new and more wonderful world for the people of God. If we opt to join in with the works of God, a partnership of creativity and hope that would make us all happy.
Exactly, Ada. It's amazing. It would almost make you greet.
Thank you, Andy and Ada, for introducing what I'm just about to say. We continue this week with our season of Revelation, that funny book at the end of our Bible, a book that Martin Luther would have consigned to the editing floor had he had his way. He didn't appreciate the author's threats and promises for those who kept or disobeyed his words, their words. And he complained that Christ is neither taught nor acknowledged in it. Now, not that I want to argue with Martin Luther, but I suspect he was suffering from a lack of imagination. For me, this funny book, whilst full of wild and wonderful descriptive text, has Jesus written all over it. The passage we heard this morning is perhaps the best known of all the book. It's heard most often at funerals. Its promise of a place where death will be no more and tears will all be wiped away are comforting words in the place of grief. But like other often heard passages, we do a disservice to it, limit its scope to that particular use. It's like only ever hearing 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at weddings. We don't get the full message of only applying it to that situation. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation is a rich text, and there's so much to dig into and explore. And I invite you now to join me on a journey into some of my thinking about it. John, the author, sees a new heaven and a new earth. He sees a city, a stunningly beautiful city, so beautiful it's like a bride arriving for her wedding. Every effort made to be as beautiful as it can be. And then the voice. Now God's home is with people. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared. It sounds wonderful, and it is. But the danger in only ever hearing this passage in the context of mourning is that we see it as an image of some far-off heavenly place, when what is being described is what God is offering in the here and now. This passage is about heaven on earth. Last week we heard some great songs, one of which was the Belinda Carlisle song, Heaven on Earth. The lyrics could have come from today's passage. They say, in heaven love comes first, we'll make heaven a place on earth. Heaven is a place on earth. That's what I think is being promised in John's revelation. Not some distant destination when we die, but heaven in the here and now. This revelation is God once again renewing everything. God's story, as we heard from Andy and Ada, is one of constant renewal. From the beginning with Adam and Eve, to Noah, with Moses and Jeremiah, all pointing to this new fresh start that God offers. And of course, the ultimate expression and demonstration of God's love, Jesus, whose death took away the sin of the world. Not just you or I sin, but all sin. I want to venture to suggest this passage from Revelation offers a reminder of God's universal love, because no one is exempt from it. I don't know what you think heaven is or where it is. We each have our own imaginations, and in those imaginations, some concept of heaven, whether that be the image of floating clouds so often portrayed in Sunday school books and films, or something else. I'm not sure I can even conjure up a satisfactory image for myself, but what I do believe is that wherever heaven is, it is where God is, and it's where I look forward to seeing God face to face. I am a universalist who believes that God's love promises us all a place in heaven, because I can't reconcile the idea of a God who made each of us in his image and yet fails to welcome us all. And yet in this passage, I'm confronted by an image of hell. It says there, but cowards, traitors, perverts, murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic, although I think Paul is exempt, not that kind of magic. Those who worship idols and all liars, the place for them is the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. What if this place of fire and sulfur is not so much a place, but a state of being? What if those who feel they are unworthy of God's love are faced at the last with the torment of still not knowing God's love? And that's what's being described here. That's a lot of ifs. But I'm content to sit with this uncertainty because it fits with my understanding of a God who loves each and every one of us. I read a wee story that might help illustrate this way of thinking. Reverend Dr. Janet Hunt is a Lutheran minister in the United States, and she spent some time as a prison chaplain. And she recounted in an article that I read a relationship that she had struck up with an inmate at a women's prison. And she writes this: "The one I went to see had little or no experience with the church, with any church at all. I became acquainted with her and her need through one of the ministers in our ministries of our congregation. And so it was that as one serving as her pastor, when I went to call on her, I was told I could not bring her much, but I could bring her a Bible. And so I did. When I put it down in front of her that first time, she clearly did not know Matthew from the Psalms or Genesis from Revelation. I gave her a quick overview and then showed her where to find Isaiah 43. This, as some of you may know, is a passage which resounds in my own history and experience as a pastor, for it was passed along to me by a retired pastor who helped mentor me when I was young. I've called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you." We shared several visits after that first time we opened her Bible together. Sometimes she would come with specific questions about what she was reading. Every time we sat down, I would pray with her. And in March, she was sentenced, and since then, she's been incarcerated several hours away. Now, I confess, at the point of her incarceration, I got busy. I had not forgotten her, but I also had not taken the time to spend even the few minutes it would have taken to write a note to tell her so. And then 2 weeks ago, a letter came to me, filling me in on how she was doing. This time I sat right down and wrote a quick response and got it out in the next day's post. This week she replied, and I share part of her letter here. The inmate had written, "I know that God is with me and helping me to get through the days. I thank God every day for continuing to help me with love, patience, understanding, and strength. I've prayed not only for my friends and family, but also for the people I don't get along so well. And she continues, "There is a lady that stopped me in the bathroom last night and asked me if I ever feel like the black sheep of the family because I'm here. And my response made her smile, and she thanked me. I told her, no, I don't feel that way. I then told her to always remember that God loves her and gave his life for her. And she agreed. I then asked her to read Isaiah 43. I also reminded her that she's never alone and she's worth more than she will ever know. I told her that what room I'm in and to come find me if she ever needed to talk. This morning I saw her and asked her how she was doing, and she told me she was much better. That made my heart happy." This is a wonderful story of God making something new, taking what was, reshaping and repurposing it. Without Reverend Janet, this woman may never have encountered the love of God, and she may well have lived in a place that felt like that fiery, sulfury pit described. It is a wonderful, powerful illustration of God making something new, because that is the nub of our text. It's not about God replacing the old with the new. It's about renewing the existing. The key verse for me in this morning's text is the one, "And now I make all things new." Now I make all things new. Not, "And now I make new things." God takes what is and makes it new. God takes us and makes us new. Our relationship with God was renewed through Jesus, made new, not replaced. A slate wiped clean is still a slate. Forgiven and redeemed, we are still the same and yet different. To bring heaven on earth, God needs us, the transformed people, to be his agents on earth, to take the message of his renewing, redeeming love into our communities and the world. A world described in our reading as the New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city, and just like the ancient city of Jerusalem, modern day Jerusalem is like all cities, a place of contrasts. In Revelation chapter 21, in the description in verses 11 to 19, John sees high walls with gates open on each side. Walls are traditional symbols of community and security. Indeed, real security comes from authentic community in which all people feel mutually supported. Gates typically control entrance and exit, but these gates, three gates on each side, are always open. Once again, the love of God not cosseted away for a chosen few. Some of the most vibrant and dynamic cities in the world are those which are diverse, where people from different backgrounds, different places, live together side by side. As another writer I read this week wrote, cities are not just places where people live, but where different kinds of people live together. Interestingly, John sees not several cities, but one heavenly city. God envisaged human beings living together as one. The city which in the Bible symbolizes God's promise to his people, Jerusalem, is to become the city of all. Life becomes truly beautiful, even breathtakingly so, whenever and wherever human beings overcome what divides them and live together as one. Our own cities may be places of surprising joy, but sadly, they are often places of distressing poverty, violence, and evil. The shocking truth about our city, Aberdeen, is that it is the highest number of food banks of any city in Scotland. The oil-rich capital of Europe is a place of contrasts, and it's crying out for God's renewing love. The new world of Revelation is not just for us in our cosy Christian huddle. It's a new world that should be available to all God's children. And this is where we have to partner with God and be God's agents. In the text we read about the 12 foundation stones on which the new Jerusalem is built, the 12 apostles, each of which represents us, that imperfect group of people whom Jesus gathered together. They are us, imperfect people called to build the new in the here and now. And that is an eternal truth. As Eugene Peterson put it in his translation of our text, God has moved into the neighbourhood, making his home with men and women. And with God in the neighbourhood, we cannot sit back. We have to act in love because of love. I said earlier that I disagreed with Martin Luther because this passage has Jesus written all over it. God in love for us renews us. And he's done this over and over again for his people throughout his story. And in Jesus found the ultimate expression of that love. And God continues to call his people to be his agents in loving those around us. He promises a renewed world and calls on us to help. So I invite you to switch on your imaginations and consider how we can each do our bit. Imagine a world where people have food to eat, fresh water to drink, and a place that is safe to live in. Imagine a world where people care for each other, help each other, and try to encourage each other. Imagine a world where you have everything you need, where no one goes without and nobody argues anymore. Imagine a world where people stick together and work together. Imagine a world where people who are sick get better and the problems we face are not really problems at all. Imagine a world where people stop pumping poison into our skies and oceans, and this air is as fresh and pure. Imagine a world where God and you work as partners. Amen. We continue to partner with God in our offering. Let us pray. May we have eyes to see what heaven yet dares to be. May we have hearts that beat to the hymn of a new creation. May we have hands ready to wipe away all tears from your people. May we make space for you to be found dwelling among us all. And may we live within this hope and live like it has already been fulfilled. And may our giving represent our hopes and dreams for your church as we dedicate it to you, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is 238, Lord, Bring the Day to Pass, hymn 238.
Thank you.
Let's come now to God with our prayers for the world. Loving God, we bring our world here, the brokenness and the joy, the longing and the hurt, because there is no other place to be found where we find the hope and renewal we need. Because you are among us and you dwell with all your people, we bring this world that you might wipe away every tear, in the hope that for places of conflict and places of hunger, for places where injustice is our bedfellow and where mistrust is every day, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. So we bring here such places. The families wondering if their family members died in a trailer making its way to the UK. The people of Syria and other troubled areas in the Middle East. Refugees sleeping in makeshift camps in Greece and Turkey. Californians evacuating their homes as fire flies through the state. The people of Chile as their country deals with political turmoil. Those affected by flooding in Wales. The family of Amelia Bambridge missing in Cambodia. Those mourning after fresh fighting in Iraq and anti-government protests. This is our world. But we pray with hope and we pray in faith that we might see a new thing, a new Jerusalem, not in some far off time, but in our world now. May we pray through our words that speak of peace, justice and generosity towards all. May we pray with our choices of responding to what hurts and destroys with acts of kindness and renewal. May we pray with our lifestyles that live with vision and hope and decide against that which hurts others. May we pray with our whole being that wherever we live and move and have our being, we shape the kingdom, the vision, the place where renewal comes. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 739, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
Lift our eyes, O God, beyond where we are now. Lift our hearts, O God, to beat to a different beat. Lift our souls, O God, to dare a vision for today. And may we meet you in all our futures and in all our todays and always.